It's a blessing, church, to know that our live streams have been increasing recently. I want to give glory to God. I also want to give glory to God for our Podbean. We have people watching and, I'm sorry, listening into our preaching here from Oceanside, California, all the way from Alaska and all around the world. It sure is a blessing to know that the Lord can use a little barrio church to reach the world with sound doctrine and good teaching. Amen. So I'm not sure about you, but I'm glad to be here. And I know that the Lord is going to use these messages to be a blessing. Amen. So with that said, just know that the Lord is using your little church. So just be faithful. Amen. Just like the Bible said, trust and obey. The Lord will take care of everything else. Amen. He'll make sure those finances keep coming. He'll provide. And so let's go ahead and continue to do that. So with that said, let's go over some quick announcements here as we continue to go through some of these things here. Give me a second as I do some adjustments. Last minute here. Give me 1 second here. There we go. All right. Just making some last minute adjustments here for our audio. I do apologize. But I think everything is good, right, Brother Giovanni? You heard? Okay, great. Praise the Lord. Okay, church, just want to go over some quick announcements. For those of you that are listening in with us tonight on our Podbean app, I just want to thank you for tuning in. I know you won't physically be able to observe us, but you can click on our church website, and it'll redirect you to our live stream links where you can visually see us either on the YouTube church page or the Facebook church page. And but we do want to thank you for taking time out of your life to tune in for our Wednesday night midweek church service. We are located at 1836 Dixie Street in Oceanside, California. We currently rent from the Friendly Church of God, and you can find the space that we rent by following those parking lot signs out there. And so our regular schedule is as follows. Sunday, we have Sunday school from 1 to 1:30. Sunday main service, 1:45 to 3. Wednesday, midweek Bible study, 7 to about 8, 8:30. Some of the hermanos were wanting us to be more like the Spanish church, so we're going to start meeting from 7 to 9:30. All right, no, I'm just kidding. Man, they get down, amen. All right, Friday night discipleship class, 7 to 8:30. So yeah, usually church, it's 7 to 8:30 for midweek Bible study, right? Anyways, I'll keep feeding those of you who want to be a little bit more fed. Just make sure you feed the brother. You already know. All right, calendar. Good news, church. Next Sunday on the 14th, I forgot to, again, move it. Apologize. But Pastor Arturo Munoz is going to be preaching, special guest speaker, missionary to Puebla. And he is a good guy, man. I've been following up with him. Last Sunday night, I had the pleasure to go down to Chula Vista to fellowship with our brethren down there, and he was speaking, and I finally kind of got a feel for the ministry in Puebla. It is awesome. I mean, he is reaching out. They're soul winning to the Mexicanos. Guys, they go soul winning on the cemeteries out there. Amen. They pass out 20,000 tracts on the Day of the Dead. That is a blessing. So he sent me the Day of the Dead tracts that they use. We're going to print them out, and this year by faith, hopefully with our small church, with some faithful servants, we're going to go reach out to the Day of the Dead outreach that the city of Oceanside does with locals because we want to reach them. And the main verse that's inspiring me is this. When the angels showed up at that tomb and they told the disciples, why seek ye the living among the dead? Amen. All right. So your God is alive. Amen. Their God is dead. Their gods are dead. Their ancestors are dead. But Jesus Christ, he's alive. But they don't know that. They're foolish. They're ignorant. We want to go out there. So Arturo Munoz will be coming down. And remember, this is his tractor. You guys can check him out. He's going to be a blessing. So please come next Sunday to be blessed by that. On the 21st, another special guest speaker, Dr. Miracle. You already remember, Big Brother. He's just being a friend to churches in Southern California. He's going to come and bless us too. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. So I want to keep that that spirit going. And then church, remember, as a family, I need you to pray with me because we have Brother Ed Worth that is being sponsored for a love trip to come and be a blessing to me as your pastor, to refresh me, to pour into me, and to pour into you for 1 week from a Saturday to Friday. But we still need to kind of plan out a date where we as a church can commit at least that Saturday to Friday to be available to fellowship. Amen. So like, what does that mean? After work, maybe we can get together. Wednesday night, of course, he'll preach. Sunday, he'll preach. So essentially the Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday will be the days that we can just hang out as a church family. So Thursday, we're going to use him to go soul winning downtown because we want to see him in action. Amen. He's a good soul winner, Brother Ed. He goes to the colleges in Florida, and he travels with their churches to all the places that they go to, kind of like we do, church in downtown Oceanside. Their church has been doing it for 30 years. They got all the spots to go to. He leads it. He's a faithful soul winner. He's a good teacher. You guys have been here with us on a Wednesday night with Brother Ed teaching on the Zoom. So he's going to bless our church. So as a family, we want to talk about what is a good time that we can commit our after time hours, our after work hours, so we can avail ourselves to welcome this brother from Florida that the church over there just wants to be a blessing to me as your pastor and also to you guys. So we'll talk about that as we come along. Okay, next announcement here. Tomorrow is our soul winning sunset market. So if you can join us, we're going to meet here at 5:45 p.m. We're going to go downtown soul winning from 6 to about 7, 7:30. I've been seeing an increase of our members participating in soul winning, and it blesses my heart to see you obey Jesus Christ, to go out into the world, preach the gospel. So church, let's continue that momentum. Let's keep going out there. Let's keep soul winning. Let's keep being one of the three. We either sow the seed, we either water a seed that has been sown by another, or by the grace of God, we get to reap. Amen. So we want to be faithful laborers for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need more women, because there is a lot of women out there that need women to minister. Amen. So let's continue to pray for our evangelism outreach. Remember that this Friday is canceled. This Friday night discipleship is canceled. And this Saturday soul winning is canceled. And then we'll be back here for Sunday at church. Amen. So we've been announcing that already ahead of time. Okay, y'all can find out a little more about us, leadership team. Let's go to study blogs. This has been one of our most clicked on tabs ever since we added a church. Praise the Lord. So what are study blogs, you might ask? Well, these are just articles that I have created for you. I have studied from other pastors and put them in an outline so that way you can read it. These are just what they are, study blogs. They are studies, they're posts to help edify you with a really cool doctrine or some kind of Bible study to edify you. Let me just tell you real quick, church. This most recent post that I sent out yesterday lost a couple of social media friends because of how hardcore it was. But hey, it's the truth. You say, Pastor, what was that? Well, let me just quickly share this with you. How many of you guys remember those milk cartons when they would put a missing person? Amen. All right. Well, I got this. And you guys have been having fun making these recently. It's just kind of been something I've been stirred to do. And so it says here, missing, lost Bible verses, words, chapters, doctrines in modern Bible versions. At the bottom, it says, eternal rewards offered for your return to the preserved words of God. So you say, what does that mean? Can you give me an example? Yep. We got two examples from the King James Bible, Romans 1:31, 2 Timothy 3:3. Without natural affection. Without natural affection. I'll define that for you. Just hang on. And all the modern versions that I cross-reference that, they take out without natural affection, or they change it to the following: unkind, heartless, unloving, show no kindness, cold-blooded, out of the Message Bible. Stay away from that. That's like a hometown buffet Bible. Unloving, no love, unloving, heartless. You know what natural affection is, church? It is the God-ordained natural desire for a man to a woman and in marriage. You know what unnatural affection is? It is when a man pursues a man. It is when a woman pursues a woman. It is when men are given over to homosexuality, women, homosexuality, sodomy, and also animal relations. You say, whoa, brother, really? Yep, that's what they were doing in the Old Testament. God warned them Jews all the time, and people still do it today around the earth. I literally saw a documentary, church, and because we have little man here, I won't say it, but he married his car and had, you know what I'm saying, relations with his car. It's crazy. You say, whoa, really? Yep. All I'm telling you is this. God preserved a doctrine for you, and you have it there in your King James Bible that you don't have in the modern versions, that in the last days, here's what's going to happen. People are going to be without natural affection. They're not going to be unkind. They're not going to be heartless or unloving or cold-blooded, as the Message Bible says. No, they're going to be without natural affection. So what does Brother Prove All Things say about it? You see Brother Prove All Things, Sister Colleen? He's right there. Look at him right there. He's searching that thing. Amen. He says, yep, those modern English versions do change the doctrine and meaning of God's words. Modern Bibles do not read the same. So that's what Brother Prove All Things says about it. So again, lost a couple of friends. But hey, what you got to remember, church, is you got to stay faithful to the book. You got to stay faithful to his words. And sometimes when you remind people and you promote the word of God, it will rub people the wrong way. But that's okay. Let the sword do its job. That book, what does it say, church? It is a what? It's a double-edged sword. It pierces even what? Soul and spirit, bone and marrow, amen? So when you just present it as it is, it'll do its job. It'll do its job. So study blogs, those are for you, church. Okay, ministry opportunities, we talked about it. Tomorrow, soul winning Thursday, if you can. Friday night, discipleship canceled. Saturday, soul winning canceled. Live stream links, y'all already know. Podbean, Facebook, YouTube. Prayer is the most important announcement that we can make tonight. Please submit your prayer request here online. Raise your hand, put it in the box back there. Remember, a family that prays together stays together. We need to continue to be in prayer together. And then last but not least, church, if you're a member of this church, hope you are. Remember, you can remain faithful in your financial giving anytime between you and God. There's a box back there. You can give online. Amen. We'll leave that between you and the Lord. All right, church, before we get to tonight's announcement, y'all already know. How are you guys' week going? Okay, thumbs up. Week? Sister Colleen, week good? Week, Brother Giovanni? Okay, all right. Too hot. It's been a hot weekend, Sister Maribel. Has it been hot over there? Man, look at baby girl's hair too. Yep, it's hot over there. My goodness, look at that. Amen. Well, it sure is a blessing to be back here, guys, and I sure am happy to see all of y'all who came out here to make it. But yeah, it's a little too hot, amen. Let me put off all that at Baptist decor, if you will. I'm just playing. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Acts. Let's go to chapter number 2. Tonight's message is titled, How God Shows Sinners the Way. How God Shows Sinners the Way. Sometimes I do enjoy, brother, getting a sermon ready by studying a particular topic, and I think that this topic is really unique. I'm going to show you the three times that God said, I will show in the book of Acts. I'm going to show you the references from the whole Bible regarding when God said, I will show to another person, if you will, a group of people, if you will. And then as we close, I'm going to show you the rest of the responses from man to God, show me. So what's the direction for tonight's Bible study? God wants to show you something. He'll tell you over and over again in the Bible. But the question is, are you asking him to show you? Tonight, my hope and prayer as your pastor and your brother is to feed you how he wants to do that. No matter who you are today, no matter how you've come, you can leave different from those doors. And if the word of God does the work in your heart, you already know, church, we don't got an altar. But you have a heart, that's the altar of your heart, and you can talk to God and go to the throne room of grace boldly anytime. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. Y'all don't got to get right at church. Y'all don't get right at your house. Amen. You get right on your way onto church because you have a heart. The Lord dwells there. And you can say, God, man, thank you for that book. Thank you for the message. I want to respond. Let me show you the three times now, church, that your God says, I will show somebody something. I'll show the other references from the Old Testament where God said the same thing, where he'll show somebody something, and the new outside of Acts. And then we're going to close with the last half of focusing on men from the Bible. In response to that, God, show me. Will you show me? And then in every one of those scenarios, guys, what we're going to look at is some context. We're going to pull out some of that from application, and I hope tonight's message will be a blessing to you. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the faithful that came here tonight, Lord. What a blessing it is, God, to see some of these souls coming back, Lord. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would now remove me out of your way. I just want to be a human vessel through whom you can minister the truth to the hearers tonight, God. Lord, you know the things that are taking place within every single one of their lives. Lord, you know the burdens they bear. Lord, you know the weight they're carrying. Lord, you know the good and the bad. My hope and prayer tonight, God, is that the Holy Ghost will take the book and show them how you want to show them how to respond to those things, how to properly ask you, how to properly seek you, how to properly knock. God, would you show us tonight? I pray that you'd bless our church because, God, without your presence, without your anointing, our lives will not change. I need you to show up tonight, Lord. Please fellowship with us here in our little church in Oceanside. We'll give you the glory and the praise and the honor for it ahead of time in Jesus' name. What do we say, church? Amen. Acts 2:19. This is the first of three. We're just going to go through this quickly. Nothing too unique, if you will. I just want to show you where God tells you in the book of Acts three times, I will show something. Here in Acts 2:19, the Apostle Peter is quoting from the book of Joel. And he is using this in his preaching to Jews there in Jerusalem. Remember that? So look at what it says here, Acts 2:19. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. God said he will show the people that. Next mention, Acts chapter 7, verse 3. In this particular, we have Stephen, again, ministering, if you will, before the Sanhedrin, that is the Jewish authorities, as he's being persecuted, if you will. And he also is quoting some Old Testament scripture, if you will. And as he is quoting that from the book of Genesis, look what he says in verse 3. When God talked to Abraham, he said, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. You see there? I shall show thee. He will show them. And then last one, Acts 9, verse 16. Here is the account of Saul. Remember that, church? Before he got saved, he was on his way to persecute Christians in Damascus. And when the Lord knocked him off his horse, he got saved. He raised up another faithful disciple by the name of Ananias to go and minister to Saul. Remember that? He gave him a dream, if you will. And he tells him here in verse number 15, the Lord said unto him, he's talking to Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Are you ready? For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I just want to give you the point here, church. When God says he will show a man something, he will show a man that thing. You understand here? If he said to a nation, I will show them this thing. If he said to an individual, I will show them this thing. He will show him that thing. Are you with me? Let's go to the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 12. Stephen was quoting this particular verse we just read in Acts chapter number 7. Genesis 12, here we have God speaking to Abraham, before his name was changed. And he said here in verse number 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. You see there? He will show, I shall show. Let's go to Exodus chapter number 33. And if we're going too quick for your Bible thump in there, that's fine. Y'all can look up to the screen. That's okay. I'll tell you when we'll slow down, and we'll get there. We'll slow down. I'm just going to go through this quickly, amen? How about that? Why don't you just look up to the screen, church? If you want to take notes, that's fine. You can watch YouTube later and slow Brother Carlos down, amen? All right, Exodus chapter 33. Watch here. The Lord told Moses here in verse number 19, he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. The next reference here for I will show is 1 Samuel 16:3. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 3. When he was directing Samuel, of which of Jesse's sons to select for the next king, remember that Jesse was the daddy of King David, because Saul had rebelled against his, if you will, God-given order. He was looking. Y'all remember that? Who should I go to anoint? Well, the Lord told Samuel, here's what he said in verse number 3. Call Jesse to do the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. As we begin to prepare the message tonight, church, what am I just trying to point out to you? When God said that he will show you the answer, he is going to show you according to his ways, his methods, his standards. He will not show you anything outside of his method or standard. When he says, I will show you, you need to listen to my voice. If you stay with my voice and where my voice directs you, I will show you the thing. Keep that in the back of your mind, church. We're getting some application little by little. Jeremiah chapter 18 is the next verse here where God says, I'll show. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse number 17, church. Let's go down there. Here we have, another, if you will, judgment to the nation of Israel, if you will. Go back down here. You'll read it. And he says here in verse number 17, I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. In the same book, Jeremiah, but let's go to chapter 42, verse number 12. The Bible says here, and I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. God said he'll show. He'll keep showing people. We already read the reference in Joel 2:30, where Peter quoted that in the book of Acts 20 about the signs, if you will, in heaven. The next one is Nahum chapter number 3. Nahum chapter number 3. I just add the accent to sound cool, church. I don't know how it's pronounced. Y'all already know. Nahum. 3:5. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame. We just have two more. Luke chapter 6, verse number 47. Here's what Jesus said about him showing someone a thing, if you will. Luke 6, verse number 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Let me just tell you real quick, guys. Some of y'all are asking God, show me what to do. The Bible has the answer. He said, I will show you who a man is like who listens to my word. Let me tell you the outcome. Okay, he's making it so easy. But there you have it, Luke 6:47. The last reference, and now this is a question mark on my paper, Brother Giovanni, because whether this is God, an angel, you can ask Manny about that. He'll probably dig into it later on for you. But look at here in Revelation 4:1. Remember, John the Apostle, he's getting supernatural, if you will, insight into the future. And this is what he says in Revelation 4:1. After this, I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, now watch us, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So three times in the book of Acts, God was quoted, I will show. And he, in that particular context, was either to an individual, or referencing to an individual, a prophetic statement made as a judgment from time ago, but for a purpose. And then we have 8 of the 9 times with question of Revelation 4:1, if you will. If you count it as God, well, then there's 9, if not 8. Where God stated that he will show either an individual, a nation, a thing of himself. But in everything that God desires to show an individual or nation, church, let me just give you the summary of tonight's message. He is going to show that individual, that nation, the answer or the direction based off his word, based off his method, based off his standards, based off his judgments. He will not show any one of these individuals, nations, or people a thing outside of his direct voice. Everything else that tries to creep in to alter the voice of God from showing anything on the behalf of God is from the devil straight up. You say, really, brother, can you give me an example? Just go back to the garden. God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Y'all remember that? Satan was beguiling the woman. And what did the woman say? That we may eat thereof, if you will, of the other gardens, but not that one over there, lest we touch it and die. So she added words, and then all of a sudden she began to doubt that word because an alternative voice crept in by the name of Satan, who gave her an alternative of the way, of the future. But that wasn't God's way. That wasn't God's future. So as we established that from the get-go, that God will show man the truth according to his voice, Satan will try to corrupt that truth from his voice, and we need to be, if you will, mindful of that. We need to be mature about that, because when that happens in your life, which it will, as it happened in my life, which it has, I had two choices. I either consulted the book and said, Lord, show me what you want me to do, or I ignored him, I listened to the devil, I gave into my feelings like the devil said to do, and all of a sudden I found myself in a hole that wasn't meant for me. I allowed a thing to come into my life that wasn't meant for me. Now, is there grace? Absolutely, but according to the truth. Is there restoration? Absolutely, but according to the truth. In other words, God will still show you, but you got to come back to the source of his voice, the Word of God. The first man tonight that I want to look at, of now, after kind of building tonight's message of when God said, I will show, here's a man that said, God, will you show me? Exodus 33, let's go back there. The first of the few that we're going to discuss here tonight is Moses. When Moses was shown by the Lord certain things of his character, certain attributes of his character, no doubt that Moses knew a lot more about God than a lot of us today because he literally walked with God. He talked with God. He saw God do miraculous things, powerful things. He saw God pour out judgments on the nation of Egypt. He saw God supernaturally judge him by having a, if you will, a hand of leprosy and heal him immediately. He knows that God has the ability. But even then, over time, Moses still had something that he wanted God to show him more of. And tonight, that's what we're going to learn about. Let's go back here to Exodus 33, verse 12. Let's see if we can learn a lesson. Exodus 33, verse number 12. The Bible says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." So you know what he's saying there? God, you told me to bring these people up. And I ask you, who are you going to send into my life to help me to bring all these people out? Lord, I know you said you know my name. Lord, I know that you said I found grace in your sight, but God, I want you to show me something else. Look at verse number 13. "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight," are you ready? "Show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people." Isn't that powerful? Moses said, "God, I know everything that I've done for you thus far. I mean, you used me to bring this multitude of Hebrews out from the iron furnace. The taskmasters, I know, you brought them out here. I know you said I found grace in your sight at some point, God, and I know you know my name, God, but what am I asking you for now, Lord? Okay, if there's grace still to be found before you, Lord, here's what I want you to show me, God. Would you show me the way? Would you show me your way? So that way I can know you." How many of you just want God to just help you to know him better? How many of us should ask God that properly now, asking him, "Lord," rather than showing you what to do about a situation, rather than asking God, "God, show me what to do with this money," or "show me what to do about that," or "what this and that," and the clothing and the haircuts and the styles and all that stuff that we got going on down here. How many of us just said, "Lord, if there's grace here," which there is because Jesus now, right, as Christians, "Lord, would you just help me to know a little bit more about your way so I can know you better?" That's a good prayer request. That's a good thing to ask God for. He says here, "that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people." You know, the Lord said in response, look at verse 14, and he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Isn't that a blessing? Let's go down to verse 17. The Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." That's a blessing. That's a real blessing. You know, church, if you're a Christian, you know what that Bible says about your name? It was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He knows you by your name. Aren't you glad for that? So we have grace as a Christian in Jesus. He knows our name now as a Christian in Jesus. But do we want to know him? Are we asking God, "God, show me your way so I can know you"? Here's what he said, verse 18. "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." So now, what is he asking the Lord? Go back down with me, church. Verse number 13. "Show me now thy way, that I may know thee." And then in verse number 18, "Show me thy glory." Let's see what God's response is, Christian. He said, this is God now, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Church, is God's name sufficient for you? Is his word sufficient for you? Is his name sufficient for us? I often wonder. Perhaps God wants to show us more, but we can't be satisfied with him just showing us more of himself. As he seeks to reveal himself and declare his name unto us through his word. Out of everything else going on in the world, which God knows about the needs of the people of Israel, he knows that they're going to need food. He knows that they're going to need shelter. He knows that they're going to need a covering by the day and a light at night. Moses is overseeing everybody else, but what is he wanting more of? God, I want to know you. I want you to show me more of you. Can you just help me to know your way more? You know, the Lord said, "I will tell you more about my name." Who are you here tonight that is not being satisfied with God, just wanting to spend more time with you and just tell you who he is? Spending time with him to know more about his character. his attributes. We've been learning that Sunday school. I'm not alone. I know some of you are here tonight, amen. We can be like that. We can ask, like Moses said, Lord, would you show me more of your way? Second man, Gideon. Let's go to the book of Judges. Amen. Judges chapter number 6. Let's go to our next church, our next example. Judges 6, verse 16 through 18. Here's another fellow. He asked God, would you show me? Would you show me? And look at what he says here in verse number 16. The Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. So here we have a situation where at the time that the nation of Israel were being governed by judges, the Lord raised up this fellow Gideon, and he was going to ask him to do a thing that Gideon knew that he did not have the ability to do. And all that Gideon would ask him is, just like many of us tonight, would you show me a sign? Are you sure, Lord, about this thing you want me to do? So look at verse 17. He said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. I mean, he's right there. The Lord is talking with Gideon, but here's Gideon asking, hey, Lord, I know you're talking to me, but can you prove that you're really talking to me? How many of you guys know who you are out there? Amen. I know you're really convicting me through that message, Lord, but are you really me? You know my circumstance? Look at verse 18. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. He's talking to the Lord. He said, Lord, hold up. I'll come right back. Can you just, please, be gracious. Can you do me this favor, Lord? I'm going to just go back. I'm going to bring you a gift. Can you just hang out here? But while you're hanging out here and waiting for me to come back, Lord, would you just please think about that sign? Are you sure you're talking to me? Show me a sign. An application for us today, church. We know that as New Testament Bible-believing Christians, we know that we're not going off the supernatural signs to convince us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We've been studying that. You know about that. But what about asking God for a sign regarding a choice you've been pondering to do for Him? Or a response to His call within your life? Or perhaps in response to a word that He's been speaking to you lately? Is it okay to ask God for a sign to confirm that that's really what you've been asking me to do? Yes. You can go to Matthew 7:7-8, or Luke 11:9-10, and I'll just paraphrase it. You guys remember this. Ask, seek, and knock. Remember that? Let me show you Luke 11 on the screen, just so you guys can see what I'm talking about. Luke chapter 11. Look at verse 9-10. Jesus said, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. It's okay to ask God sometimes. Are you sure? Lord, are you sure? Can you confirm? When we're asking and we're seeking and we're knocking, one thing that we need to remind ourselves, church, is that those are all verbs. Those are all actions. In other words, you are laboring for God as you ask God for that thing. You're serving God as you're seeking for that thing. You're doing what God has commanded you to do while you're knocking and waiting for the Lord to respond to show you that thing. You say, Pastor, show me that condition. What do you mean by that? Is there something that I need to do in order for him, in order to respond accordingly? Oh, yeah. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Let's go there. 1 John 3. Let's go all the way down now to verse number 19. 1 John 3, verse 19. Sister Maribel, may you do me a favor and just close that door, please, the regular door. We'll just keep the cold in here. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Brother Joe. Appreciate you. 1 John 3, verse 19, is there a condition as it pertains to how God will respond to my petition? Yes. Look at verse 19. The Bible says here in 1 John 3, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Let's continue here. And shall assure our hearts before him. Verse 20, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Now listen here, verse 22, church. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Are you keeping his commandments? Are you doing those things that are pleasing in his sight? Then if so, ask him for that sign, because you know that you're going to receive an answer. If so, then keep seeking, because you know you're going to receive an answer. If so, church, then keep knocking, because God will show you, because you're doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. You're keeping his commandments. But if you're not, let me warn you, do not be surprised at the outcome. Don't be surprised if you don't get the answer. Don't be surprised if you're not getting a clear-cut, direct, if you are not keeping his commandments and doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. You know what Galatians warned us about, church, in chapter 6? It warned us about not being deceived in verse 7. It warned us that God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. When you're asking God, are you walking according to the Word of God? Are you in obedience to the Word of God? If so, he will respond. He'll help you with that confirmation you're asking. But if you're not, you're deceiving yourself. Don't act surprised. Don't act surprised. I'm Brother Moat. You already know. I couldn't act surprised many years ago. Amen. Third, King David. Let's go back there to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. You'll have the things that you're asking for, brother or sister, but you got to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Wholeheartedly. King David here, verse number 1. The Bible says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Look at what he asked the Lord. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember me, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the what? Way. What is tonight's message? How God shows sinners the way. You know how he shows sinners in the way? Let's keep reading. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Look at 1 John 3 again. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the what? Way that he shall choose. Are you walking in the fear of the Lord? The Bible says that in the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Are you considering his word before the thing that you're doing? God promised he will guide you in the way that he will choose. But you got to be meek. You got to be humble. You got to be fearing him. Look at verse 13. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Anybody out there tonight? Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. I'm not sure about you, friend, but during this time of his life, even with everything going on, you know what? King David is still humble enough to realize, I'm a sinner and need a forgiveness. I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. Look at verse 19. Consider mine enemies, for they're many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity, now watch this, and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. You know what we can learn here? God will teach sinners who seek to be taught of him. Christian, do not expect anything from the Lord when your heart and your mind is not on him, when it's on everything else but him. James 1 warned you, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't expect to receive from the Lord. He'll teach you in the way, but you got to fear him. He'll teach you in the way, but you got to be meek. You got to be humble. You have to consider his word the authority. All right, now this is good. Let's go to Psalm 50. That message ago, Sister Maribel, this was Asaph. Remember Asaph? Man, he ministered to the both of us. Amen. Asaph's a pretty good brother right here, and look at him here. As the Spirit of God gave him some witness. This is going to speak to us again, I believe. All right, now watch this. Verse 7. Psalm 50, verse 7. The Bible says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?" Are you ready now? Verse 14. "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." The Bible is beginning to narrow it down, church, concerning how God will show the sinner in the way he ought to go. He will help those who seek him in return. You see, the sincere believer in God, the humble believer, the believer who knows that he or she isn't perfect, gets right back up after they fall. The believer, he or she, who knows, they get right back up and they get right back to that throne of grace and confess to God and remind him of the blood of Jesus. And you thank him. Not because you're perfect, but because he is, and you thank him for loving you in return, in spite of all your imperfections. And so you keep going to church. You keep soul winning. You keep giving up your finances. You keep doing what God has commanded you to do because you're thankful. And as you continue to walk that narrow walk with the Lord, and as you continue to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise and saying, "God, you're just worthy. I'm thanking you through it." You know, the Lord said in verse 15, "I got your back. When you call on me on that day, and I know it's going to get difficult for you, I will deliver thee. I'll take care of you." Why? Because you have been walking with me faithfully. You've been walking humbly. You have been thankful for what I've been already to you this entire time. But, sometimes buts are good and bad in the King James Bible. Y'all got to be ready. Verse 16, "But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes?" Ooh, hypocrite Christian, what are you doing teaching other Christians if you're not keeping that book? If you're not obeying the book? What are you doing taking my word to the world when you know that you're half in and half out? Brother Moat, many years ago, Brother Moat right here. "Or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee. When thou sawest a thief, then thou contendest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee." You know what's crazy? Sometimes believers, I'm just going to use this application for carnal Christians, sometimes they will start sinning so much, they will leave God, they will stop reading their Bible, they will stop going to church, and they will begin to fashion God after their imaginations, to think that God is somehow, some way okay with what they're doing. There was a family member I had many years ago. Her husband had left her for another woman, straight up. And I didn't know nothing about the Bible. all I knew is that that was obviously wrong. That was an evil thing to do. And I remember talking to this quote-unquote family member of mine, and all of a sudden, out there in the parking lot, he came up to me, friend, and he just said, I just really feel like this is what God wants me to do. I really feel like everything's okay. Now, I didn't know nothing. Again, I'm not anywhere near that I was back in those days. But I said, okay, all right. This has been the Christian guy, you know, like my whole life, coming to the birthday parties, right, Brother Giovanni? We'd all hang out. He was the Christian guy with his Christian wife, always telling me about Jesus, and I don't want to hear anything. And all of a sudden, he's the one that ended up going 360 that way, but he said God wants him to do that. You know what's crazy, brother? You know what God calls that? Wickedness. You know what that's an evidence of, sister? That's a reprobate mind. When a Christian begins to think that what they're doing is approved of God, you know what the Lord told that person through Asaph? I'm quiet this whole time you're doing that. You're thinking that I'm just like you? You're thinking I'm approving you? Mm-mm. I'm going to check you. I'm going to reprove you. Set them in order before thine eyes. Look at this. Now consider this. Ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, whoo, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. What's the point, you may ask, Pastor? Does God really call Christians wicked? Are you really sure about that? Sounds kind of a little too harsh. This is the holy God of the Holy Bible. Let's just remind ourselves of that. You know what the Lord promised there? If you get your life together, you repent, and you start ordering your life aright according to my word, I will show you the salvation of God. He'll show you the way. He'll show you the answer. But what is he expecting you to do? You to fix your own life to get it back in line with the book. Woo! Y'all got to do that. I'll give you New Testament all day long. I'll show you. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 5. A couple of more verses, church. Let's just stay over time just a couple of minutes. Amen. 1 Corinthians 5. I got to show you these. I don't want you to leave thinking that this is just a way that certain preachers preach or teachers teach. No, this is a Bible thing here. And yes, he will call Christians wicked when they walk carnally. So what we're doing is just showing you scripture with scripture. Psalm 50, wicked. You're forgetting God. Don't think God is going to approve you. Carnal Christian. Oh, you're forgetting God. Don't think he's going to approve you. He will reprove. He will tear you up. He'll expose you because he loves you, though. Look at the difference, though. As a Christian, you know what that Bible says? As many as he loved, he what? He chasteneth. Remember that? All right, 1 Corinthians 5:11. What does that Bible say, y'all? But now I have written unto you not to keep company if a man that is called a brother be a fornicator, covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. What have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Are you ready? Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Christian in church, Christian going to church, Christian out of church, because he or she is an active, present tense right now, fornicator, covetous, idolater, railer, drunkard, extortioner. That's a wicked Christian. How did they become wicked, brother? Because they forgot God. How did they forgot God? Because they put off his word. And what did he say in the Psalms? You put my words behind your back. And so because you have your back to me, you think I'm in it, but I'm not. God is keeping silence. He ain't even talking to you right now because you completely disregard him. You're ignoring him. Now, I'm not talking to you specifically. You understand, church. We're speaking generally here. But that word be, it's a present tense. Present tense. So don't just think that a wicked Christian is somebody who's just physically committing, you know, an adulterous sin or fornicating. It's not just the sex. Look at a railer. A Christian who rails on other Christians is wicked? That's what your book just said. Railer, somebody who just keeps accusing other Christians. Somebody who just keeps, you know, railing slanderously of other Christians. God said that's a wicked Christian. It's also a drunkard. It's also an extortioner. It's also covetous. Christians who just keep coveting thing or being idolatrous, that's wicked. So don't just isolate it, brother, by saying, oh, they're wicked because of the sex thing. No. They're wicked because of everything else over here, y'all. Now we know how they got there, though, brother. 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. I'm going to go a little over time, but trust me, church, this is real important for you, okay? I won't see you for a minute, all right? Remember that. Friday night's canceled. Y'all can bear with me, amen? 2 Thessalonians 3. I want to cross-reference this for the principle. Are you ready, church? We're almost done. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Let me apply the principle, believer. I'm going to stretch it out a little bit, okay? Just for the application. Although this verse could be speaking about unbelievers and their deeds against Christians, it's okay, now listen, it's okay to be delivered from carnal Christians. It's okay to be delivered from unreasonable Christians. You know, those who have a one-minded view, everyone else is wrong and I'm right, wicked Christians, it's all right to be delivered. 2 Peter 3, verse 17 through 18, a warning to us Christians not to be led astray by the deeds or the actions or the failures of others. Look at here, verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, now watch this, church, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's the warning, not just from the false prophets, church, not just from the false doctrine, church, but again, I'm just going to stretch this spiritually to apply unreasonable and wicked Christians. When they're walking contrary to the book, God wants you to stay steadfast. When they begin to pull you, he wants you to stay right here. Now, I wanted to have a demonstration, but Sister Keena's not here. I was going to ask the both of them to pull me, one to the left, one to the right. And I wanted to show you by demonstrating to you to stand firm, because here's what's going to happen. They're going to be in your life. They're going to pull you over here. The other one is going to pull you over here. Your God wants you to stay right here in the middle. He doesn't want you to give in to either or the other, because he doesn't want you to fall from your own steadfastness. You need to continue to keep your heart on that book. Amen. Last two, Psalm 86, and then we'll finish up with New Testament, I promise, church. Like I said, I got to feed you until Friday, so y'all can take this, amen? Y'all can take this. Brother Giovanni said, brother, I want 3 hours. I said, all right, amen. We'll get it going, Psalm 86. He's being served by those Mexicano hermanos, brother, man. Woo! Them brother spiritual up there, I'm telling you. I told you about the church I visited. Went in there at 6:30, didn't get out until like 8:45. Híjole, hermano. Espíritu Santo, yeah, híjole. Psalm 86, verse 1. Again, let's go back to King David for one more before we close with our New Testament reference. We're almost done. Here's what he says. Remember, let me bring you back to the main point again. God wants to show you. Are you asking him, Lord, show me? We learned from Moses. We learned from Gideon. We learned from King David. We learned from Asaph. We're going to go back now to King David, and then we'll finally end with the Holy Spirit. Bow down thine ear, he says, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. I hope you are. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Are you listening, Christian? Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou will answer me. Church, God can use you as a sign to others. Are you ready now? You guys can read down here for the next verses, but this is powerful. You can read on your own time. For sake of time, I won't. But look at here, verse number 14. He tells them, O God, the proud are risen against me. The assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. All right, now he says here, O turn unto me, verse 16, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thy handmaid. Now, verse 17, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me. What's our second to last lesson, church? God can use you as a sign to others, as a testimony that they may be ashamed because of God providing your need, God coming through as you remain faithful, as you remain obedient, as you walk with the Lord, again, not being pulled to the left or to the right by the wicked, but staying steadfast, not letting nobody move you, trusting that God is going to come through to help you, asking him, Lord, show me, so that way it'll be a sign to everybody else around me that God, you're with me, that I'm not alone. He can do it for you. He can do it for you. Lastly, and we're going to close here, John 16. The Holy Spirit wants to show you things. The Holy Spirit wants to show us things. But the method, the means, and the how he wants to show us, some of our Christians no longer want to do it his way. They want to do it their way. They want to depend upon their feelings, brother. They want to depend upon YouTube. They want to depend upon Google. They want to depend upon their feelings, their dreams, their night visions, if you will, their daydreaming, if you will. They want to depend upon their goosebumps, if you will. And they want to confirm with everything else but the way the Holy Spirit was told by Jesus Christ on how to give people the truth they need it when they need it. Are you ready now? We're going to close here. John 16, look at verse number 13. The Bible says here, howbeit, when he, the spirit of feeling, is that what it says there? What does it say, sister? Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into some truth. Is that what it says? There it is, sister. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He'll show you. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath in mind, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. He wants to show you. The Holy Spirit is in our hearts, amen. He's the comforter. He's the reprover. He's the one who guides. He's the one who teaches. He's the one that gives us the unction. He's the one that gives the spiritual discernment in all things. But church, it said the spirit of truth. Jesus said that he'll guide me into all truth. But what is the source of that, brother? What is the source of that, sister? The spirit of truth. It says he guides into. Did you see that in verse 13? That's a particular thing now, friend. That's a specific into now, you see there. The Holy Spirit will only speak and remind you from the scriptures, not from your heart, not from your feelings, especially those pesky feelings, you know, when you get upset and you get angry and you start doubting and all those things, amen. Not your dreams, not your television shows, the scriptures. Jesus Christ said the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but what he hears, that shall he speak. 2 Timothy 3:16, I already told you, church, that all scripture has been given by inspiration of God and is profitable. 2 Peter 1, I already told you toward the end of the chapter that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, which tells me what? That all truth has been given, and it has been written, and it has been preserved for us perfectly. But do we want the truth? Do we care for the truth? Do we even desire the truth? Some of you want it, and some of you don't. Why don't you want the truth, friend? Why do you ignore him by arguing yourselves out from reading, from praying, from going to church? The Holy Spirit is going to guide you into that. But if you're not being guided by that, because that's not the Holy Spirit guiding you, that's your spirit. That's your emotion. That's why we always have to remind ourselves, the book, the book, the book. What does he say? Again, I want you to show me, God, what you want me to do. He said, I'll show you. But right here, this is the means, this is the method, and this is the how. Friend, when you're not here, and when you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you're not grieving me as much as you are the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 told you this, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You can grieve him. You can make him sad. Can you believe that? Me making God sad? Oh, yeah. Why? Because you don't let him teach you. You don't want to listen to him. You want to listen to everybody else under the sun. Who are they? They're not God. They're not from everlasting. They don't know the truth in the hearts of all men, but he does, and he'll tell you. He'll show you the way. Don't forget God, friend. Last word here. This, my Christian friend, is what God will show us when we, in return, are ready to say, God, please show me. So tonight I'll conclude with that. God, that's how we show sinners the way. I will show, he said it many, many times, to men or to a nation. But it's according to what? His voice. Men, in response, and said, God, they said unto the Lord, Lord, show me. Moses said, show me your way. I want to know you. What did King David say? Show me the truth. Teach me the way that I should go, uprightness. Asaph, show me. I'm going to be thankful, Lord. I'm going to be thankful. He warned us about the wicked when they forget God. King David, again, what we learned before we moved on. And then lastly, the Holy Spirit of God, he wants to show you. But do you want God to show you the truth? The truth will only be guided by the scriptures. That is the only source of God speaking to you today, to your life, to your voice, whatever you want to say, to your heart, whatever. You understand what we're saying here. But if not, don't be surprised why the outcome will not be blessed or why the outcome doesn't work out, because when you started it, you didn't ask him to show you. Now, can he help you to redirect the decision you made before you asked him? Oh, yes, he can. But it's going to be in accord with what? The truth. You're halfway through your situation, you're almost out of it, or you're about to get into it. It's okay. Well, you got to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Remember all the psalmists? God, hey, forgive me of my sins. They just kept telling God, Lord, forgive me, forgive me. You're great. You're merciful. Just, I'm sorry, Lord. But would you help me now to redirect my path, to show me? He will show you. And then, friend, you know what he promised you? Because you've been so humble, you've been so meek, you've been fearing his name, you've been walking with him. When your day of calamity comes, you know what he promised? Call upon me. I'll take care of you. I got your back. That's what he said. Let him show you, church. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God tonight. Lord, it's a unique message tonight, Lord. And I just pray that it will do its job as the word goes forth to minister to the hearers tonight, God, as you first of all work in my heart. I'm Brother Mode. Our church knows that, Lord. I am not ashamed to say I am guilty of my faults and failures and personality issues, Lord, because I know I am not a perfect man. The Bible is. That's why it's good to be a part of a Bible-based church where the word of God is exalted over a man's feelings, Lord. I'm so glad that this church does not run off a pastor's feelings, but the scriptures. And I'm so glad that we have the understanding, God, because no matter if brother such and such comes in with a bad day or sister such and such comes in with a bad day, God, that we can still love each other and we can still embrace one another and pray one for another in fellowship, God, because we're all in it together, Lord. We want you to show us the way. And we humbly come before you as one by saying, God, we need forgiveness. We need mercy. We need your truth to continue to help us, guiding us to know you more, to know the way you would have for each and every single one of our lives. I'm thankful to be a part of a church family that knows it's all about you. Now, we're not perfect, but you are. So, Lord, thank you for this church family that has been sticking it out together, even through difficulties going on in their lives. Lord, you know that. I'm thankful to see everyone tonight, God, that has come here to church. And that showed me something, Lord. I hope it showed you something, Lord. So tonight, God from heaven, would you please hear us according to your grace? Father, show the sheep tonight, God, the direction that you would have them to go as they trust in you, as they lean not on their own understanding, but as they acknowledge you, God, would you show them? And would they be willing to give you thanks even now through the midst of their storms so that, God, you can bless them in the end? I thank you, Father, for the ability to serve every single one tonight. Help us to get back home safely, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, love you. God bless you. We'll see y'all.